Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to a Wednesday afternoon edition of Sports Talk Live, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan, David Haw, Teddy Greenstein, and the Natalie attired Mark Carmen. How'd the job interview go, kid?
I just wanted to show my respect to this show, Cappy. You've been coming on since 2008. I believe this is my last appearance in this version, so I dialed it up for you, pal. Thank you for all the time and the fun times. Let's have another good one today, pal.
All right, let's talk some baseball. So the White Sox have won 6 in a row. The Cubs have won 5 in a row. They're not two, but we'll start with the Sox. David Haw, they don't have a lot of depth in that rotation after losing Reynaldo Lopez, Michael Kopech opting out. Now you've got an issue with Carlos Rodon. Do the White Sox, if you throw in Madrigal and Encarnacion's injuries, have enough depth to withstand this rash of injuries?
Well, their offense is good enough. You think they might be able to outslug people. They're going to have to. I think you have consistency from Giolito. Dallas Keuchel's been good. If Dylan Cease can turn the corner, as it appeared after his last start out, he's capable of doing, then maybe they can piece together, a fourth and fifth start from Gio Gonzalez. Maybe Ross Detweiler has been better than we ever expected. And who knows where Dane Dunning is. Somebody has to emerge until either Rodon or Lopez or both get back. But I do think this Sox team has something special brewing, whether it's this season or next season. I would be very reluctant to trade for a fifth starter because you don't want to weaken a foundation for the success that is to come.
Daddy?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, these guys are gamers. They're winners. They're already starting to establish that. You know, when you can win a game after Rodon gets knocked out that early, I think that's a great sign. A lot of confidence they must have. And yeah, it has to be Dylan Cease. I mean, when I was covering these guys off and on, they talked about Cease. His minor league performances were immaculate. I mean, his strikeout to walk, and he was just so good. And he just hasn't been able to find it yet in the major league. So this is his time to step up.
At the Carm?
Well, first off, I want to underline when Teddy did a piece on Aaron Bummer and his last name, which was one of the greatest pieces in White Sox Tribune history. I loved it. But Dane Dunning is an interesting name, and he looks pretty good in the summer workouts. So I'd love to see him get an opportunity here. It's too bad with Jimmy Lambert because he was pitching well too, and that would have been a candidate in the rotation. Right. Dylan Cease, best stuff on the staff. It's huge if he makes the leap. I believe I said on White Sox Weekly, and I think that's David Haw who yelled at me, easy, Carm, on your Dylan Cease is going to be the best pitcher on the staff this year. But that's what I stepped out and made that prediction. It hasn't gone quite that way yet. So they have some depth. The Detweiler thing's a great call, too, by the way. That guy's pitched great. Maybe he slides in the rotation.
Do you believe that Luis Robert is, as John Heyman told us yesterday and David Haw on his fine radio show, that Luis Robert is Ronald Acuna Jr. with speed? By the way, Ronald Acuna Jr. stole damn near 40 bases last year.
Acuna Jr., yeah, he had 37 stolen bases. So I understand the praise. I think that he's already got speed. Acuna's speedy. I think Luis Robert is as good of a prospect as there is in Major League Baseball. It underscores. I think the comps are going to be wide-ranging, but just appreciate him for what he is right now. A guy giving the Sox some oomph at the top of the order. When Tim Anderson comes back, they'd have a nice problem to have. Who bats leadoff? I think ultimately Luis Robert will be a middle-of-the-order guy, a run producer who can also steal a base.
Daddy?
Can I tell you a quick, funny story? So nobody cares about my fantasy team. I barely even care about it. So I wrote a column a few weeks ago. I said, hey, I need a general manager. I need a Theo Epstein. Somebody manage my fantasy team. Guy in the Northwest suburbs, Eric Toussaint, steps up. So we're emailing back and forth. And I show Nori, I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be great. He's going to manage my team, so I don't have to worry about it. And at the end of this email, it says, love, Robert. And my wife, Nori, says, oh, that's so sweet. He's already signing his emails, love, you know, love, Robert. I said, no. His name is Eric. He loves the fact that we have Luis Robert. So that was that. And it's been, you know, glorious to have him on the roster. Good old number 88. I feel like anytime he's up there, he's a threat, and especially on the bases. And as long as he doesn't, you know, trample a right fielder in the next couple of games, things are going to be good.
Carm, that guy, and I know you do a lot of White Sox pre and post, that guy has, as Jason Benetti says, easy power from 88. Like, there's nothing he can't do.
Yeah, easy power the other way. And you guys are talking about his speed. He beat out a routine double play ball by a step and a half. And you're looking at like, hold on a second. Like, you have that much in the tank when you absolutely need it. So, I don't know. Ken Griffey Jr., Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, whoever you want to throw in there. Like, let's not take any chips off the table here. This guy looks like, once he really understands what's going on, he's not swinging at everything that's thrown up there. I mean, who knows how good he's going
to
be.
Tom, you are never prone to exaggeration, are you?
Never.
Never. Let's go to the Cubs. They have won five straight. They are 9-2, David Haw. I don't know if they have the depth to withstand a rash of injuries like the White Sox have, but right now they've been healthy. What do you like best about the Cubs other than the quality starting pitching?
Well, I think their lineup has been lengthened by the DH, and they're dangerous offensively as well. They can hit the ball out of the ballpark. They're grinding at bats. And Cap, I know it's a natural thing for us to talk about, do they have enough depth? Do the White Sox starters have enough depth? The bullpen have enough depth for the Cubs? It's a 60-game season. There's only 49 left. How much depth do you need? All they need to do is piece things together to get to a point where now they have a 4-game lead in their division. That's like they started 23-5 in a 162-game season. I like almost everything about the Cubs.
Carm?
So it's at 9-2, you do feel like, oh, my God, they've really jumped out here, plus the fact that we've got more playoff teams and all of it. What I like about this team the most is the chemistry of the team. Every time you look at the dugout, they're going nuts for each other. There's something that has happened this year with this group that just makes you really appreciate they've been together, and clearly they wanted to do something this year, and it's showing the way they're playing. You know, they're playing great too.
Patty?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Joe Maddon advocate. I think we all are. You do wonder how much of this is David Ross. Are they showing all this enthusiasm because there are no fans, so they feel like, you know, it's like a Little League game, so they have to sort of try to get the atmosphere going? Is it because, you know, they've basically been winning since the first day? But it is nice to see, you know, that spirit there, and perhaps it's contributing to wins, or it's just a big fat coincidence.
I think it's because there's no more petting zoos on the north side. I think I heard that on the radio this week.
Bingo. That's exactly right. The Simon the Magician, the petting zoo, the onesies, those are all out west now. Again, let me just be crystal clear.
That's a shot.
Joe Maddon was the right guy to win the World Series. He was the right hire when they made it in October of 14. They also needed a change. And when Theo Epstein comes out yesterday and says, David has a dress up that's lingered for too long, that was not a shot at Joe Maddon. That was praise for David Ross. Maybe the wording could have been different because a lot of people took it and ran with it as a shot. I don't think it was a shot, David Haw.
I don't think it was intended to be a shot, but it was certainly was a comparison and a contrast that it was inevitable to look at. Guys like you are going to look at it as, look what Joe Maddon didn't do. He only delivered a World Series, and now he's good because he's gone.
Well, if you gave, if you had Theo in a corner and he had to give an honest answer, when should you have made this move? When do you think you would have said?
After 17.
After 17, really? You think?
100%.
I wonder if he would say after 16.
What?
There's
no way.
the knot is too hot tight on your tie.
Hey, look, you watched him. Let's be honest. They did win the World Series at 16, but he didn't manage great in the World Series. He didn't. And I'm hugest Joe Maddon fan. I wish he was still here. I love Joe Maddon, but he didn't have a great World Series. So I wonder what Theo would say.
Real quick, Teddy, your thoughts.
I mean, this is a very amusing discussion. Fire the guy, maybe like steps after the parade. Maybe at that point you just send him on a plane or something. No, I mean, look, different managers, as you guys know, are right for different situations. And we always have the theory in sports that you need the opposite. I don't think David Ross runs the world's tightest ship, but there's certainly less, you know, oddities and strange stuff that there were under Joe and these guys were thriving under him.
It's not as lax, we'll put it that way. Got to take a quick time out. We'll come back, talk with the great voice of the White Sox, Jason Benetti, and we'll talk some hockey with the panel coming up.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back on Sports Talk Live, a Wednesday afternoon edition, and that means I get to talk to my friend Jason Benetti, the great voice of the Chicago White Sox, winners of six straight, playing really good baseball. Jason, the most concerning thing is there's been some injuries, but so far, so good. Will this really test the depth?
Completely. First of all, hi, Cap, and good to see your face as always. The depth is key to this team, and we've talked about it in having a 1-9 that's scary. But the other thing it provides is it gives you still a 1-6 or 1-7 that's really scary, even when you lose two guys. If you believe the 1-9 is terrifying, which most pitchers seem to, you end up having still a very competitive lineup if you lose a couple guys. Now, that's not the ideal way to use your depth, but it's still feasible. And so we'll see about those injuries. But yeah, I think the Sox are in way better shape than they have been in recent years, since I've been here at least, to sustain a couple injuries and still stay afloat.
You know, to look at the pitching staff, and you've got to get good starting pitching. Giolito's a stud. Dallas Keuchel is a Cy Young winning, World Series winning, proven guy. Dylan Cease has all the stuff, and I think the makeup, and I think he'll be fine. But, boy, you lose Michael Kopech, Reynaldo Lopez, Carlos Rodon. It really cuts into the margin of error in that rotation.
It totally does. And it forces this bullpen. This is why I think the Sox are well built for 60. Because you remember in 2016, the bullpen was so good out of the chute. Matt Albers, et cetera, everybody was so good, and they got worn down because of usage, because the starters weren't eating up innings other than Sale and Quintana off the top. In this type of season, when you only have 49 games left, as we're talking right now, you can patchwork a bullpen to get you outs and to save you innings and be okay. If this were 162, I'd be a lot more concerned about the back end of the rotation, but I think you can stretch out over 49 more this bullpen, or at least do it more successfully than you could over 162. So I think that's in part why people said the Sox are a better bet in 60 than 162.
As you look at the defense, that was the one thing last time you and I spoke. I also talked to Stoney, and I said, the one concern I would have, and again, I'm not there every day, but I'm a fan and I watch everything. The defense would concern me. What have you seen defensively from your baseball team?
Yeah, Madrigal has been an upgrade at second base. Robert in center field has been everything that you'd hope. I mean, when a ball goes out there, you think he's going to catch it, which I do believe in the long run helps Eloy Jimenez. But clearly we've seen the last couple of days that teams are going to run on Eloy in left with his arm. And then we've seen also that when Adam Engel's in the game in right field, that's a pretty impressive center to right defensively. So I feel like the infield defense still can get better. Tim had a couple errors before his injury. But I think Madrigal, if healthy, would certainly help at second base. And I think Moncada has gotten much better over the last year plus at third.
As you watch Luis Robert, this guy's a beast. I mean, John Heyman was on this show yesterday. He said, well, I think Luis Robert is Ronald Acuna Jr. with speed. And I went, Ronald Acuna Jr., I think, stole darn near 40 bases last year. So what does that mean for Luis Robert? Does he remind you of anyone?
The first thought I had when I saw him, and I've said this before, but is Terrell Owens. The way Terrell Owens, when he used to catch those skinny posts, would create space between him and the defensive back and run away, and they get a touchdown pass out of it. And he looked like he was working less hard than the DB who was losing ground on him. Luis Robert looks like everything is just a built-in software program that he doesn't even have to run. I mean, he looks as close to like a bot as you can be while still being fluid, just because he does everything so simply. It's like he's crafted by a company who wants as user-friendly of an experience as possible. It's sleek design, it's clever, and it also does things with great power.
Okay, now the line that triggers Cubs fans and gets Sox fans all fired up is, "Thanks, Cubs." Well, the line that I love that you used the other day that you're going to use a lot more is "easy power from 88. I can't believe that swing was just like this and the ball flew out. I couldn't believe it.
When I watched those replays, and Eloy last night was the same deal, that power to center field, the ball just goes pow off his bat and flies. To me, we have a new generation of baseball player. And it's not only those guys. It's Pete Alonso. It's Acuna. It's Dustin May last night with a two-seamer from Hades that struck out Manny Machado. Like, there are guys designing pitches and designing their power to make it look as simple as possible. I think we're absolutely in another heyday of baseball stars who look a lot like the stars we grew up watching, but transcendent in their athleticism.
The White Sox have won six in a row, or what was it, six in a row, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, six in a row. The Brewers don't look like a great team. Somebody kidnapped Christian Yelich and put me in his uniform. So how do you handicap the White Sox team? I know they swept Kansas City. They're not great. The Cubs are beating Kansas City. The Royals are a struggling team. The Brewers are struggling. So handicap this White Sox team when they get up against a Yankees in the postseason, a Twins in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's where you really run into the wall, right? Is can you compete with a Yankees team that 1-9 is terribly deep? And the Twins obviously came into Chicago and laid the wood offensively. So yeah, I think it matters what the Sox look like injury-wise as you get there. But it is a good sign to be able to say you swept Kansas City. Like, you're beating the team you're supposed to beat, and you're doing it without a substantial amount of trouble. That's something the Sox have really struggled to do in the Central since I've been here and over the course of most of this decade. So that's a good sign. The Astros have not been as good as expected. They're 6-4 as we're talking right now. The Twins and Yankees, to me, look like the class of the American League. And there's no reason the Sox couldn't be at the top of the everyone else group. And who knows in one series what happens after that.
Yeah, if you can get one pitcher to step up other than Keuchel, Giolito, if that's Dylan Cease, if that's whoever, and you go, we can run three arms at you, they got a shot, because that lineup is really good.
I agree with you completely. And if it's Ross Detweiler just eating up five innings for you to get you to six, or if it's Gio Gonzalez throwing more strikes than he has at points in the past, like that's if you get those versions of those veterans, that can end up being a rotation that, again, is well-suited for 60. Again, not 162, but it's well-suited for 60 this year.
Jason, thank you for the knowledge as always. Our best to Steve Stone, and keep killing it, man. You are awesome.
Love you, Cap. Thank you.
Love you. You're the best. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more with our panel on Sports Talk Live, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. Welcome back on Sports Talk Live. Thanks again to Jason Benetti. So let me ask the fine panel. Blackhawks, Edmonton Oilers. I love late night sports. Well, I'll be on the couch till midnight, 12:30 tonight. And who knows? Maybe we'll get overtime. That's like getting a free dessert after a great meal that you get in downtown Chicago. So who wins tonight at the Carm?
Why not, Cappy? Let's live the 12 seed. Let's find a Blackhawks victory. They're talking about communication. I think that you're going to hear the captain a whole lot tonight. Johnny Toews is going to, I don't know. I'm just predicting a big game and Crow coming back, even though I don't know who's in net. Has it been announced yet? So I like the Hawks at a tight one, 4-3.
Dr. Haw, hockey dad.
Cap, I'll be up. You can call me again if you want. I'm staying up to watch this one. Hawks are going to come out hot. They're going to get in Connor McDavid's way. Disrupt him is a key. Stay out of the box is another key. Dylan Strome might want to show up tonight because that would be another key. And if all those things happen, I think they score enough goals. Two bad defensive teams. I think the Hawks find a way to outscore the Edmonton Oilers tonight.
42 shots for the Hawks in game one, just 26 in game two. And I did call him, make sure he was up so he would be prepared for his radio show. And he answered on half a ring. Give him credit. The guy was locked in. Teddy, this hockey team looked like they were in quicksand as Connor McDavid kind of handled his way past everybody and then roofed it over Corey Crawford. What do you expect to have happen tonight?
Roofed it. I haven't heard of that one. That's pretty good. I am hoping that you get like 4 hours of sleep. I'm hoping for about four overtimes and you're going to wake up at what, 4:45, start your workouts. You're going to be completely exhausted and your workouts are going to be terrible. No, this is entertaining hockey to watch because it's so offensive. You know, you feel like the winning team is going to score 4, 5, 6 goals. So I'm just along for the ride. Certainly ready to be entertained.
Dr. Carmen, the Blackhawks defense has been a problem all season long. Corey has been dealing with COVID-19, the shutdown. He was really good on Saturday, not so much on Monday. What goalie do you expect tonight?
I look, to me, you go back with Crow. It's he's been there. He's done it. I don't see at this point making a change in game three of the series. And it's you're asking a lot coming back from everything he's been through, but I think you ride with a vet.
All right, let's go to college football. David, you played. Meet Carmen, Teddy, not so much. So keep your answers tight. We're running tight. Sure. Do you believe we're going to have college football to high D1 level, David?
I think it's going to be really difficult to pull off. I want to see it. I love college football, but I just don't think it's that feasible. I think the schedule released today is more based on optimism than realism. Yep. I hope I'm wrong, but I think in the safety for the players, you got to look out for them. I really doubt it.
Teddy.
Yeah, I think it's trending very poorly. You know, I don't know if you guys saw this. There was the mother of an Indiana football player the other day who came out and said, my son went through 14 days of hell battling COVID and might have long-term heart problems. And that really, for all the people who have previously come out and said, hospital, there's no hospitalizations. As long as these guys are young and able-bodied, it's not going to affect them. I think that got the attention of the Big Ten. Also, Rutgers, Michigan State, and Northwestern are currently not even practicing. So I think it is a pipe dream to say we're going to have college football in the fall.
Do you think that there will be some leagues that try and push on, like the SEC, because they let money guide the decision?
I mean, I think the Big 12 is actually the one that is the most aggressive. And sure, if I was guessing, like putting an over-under and the number was 0.5, I think I would take over. But, you know, to think that we're going to have Big 10 football that first week of Saturday and it's going to be Rutgers, Nebraska, when Rutgers can't even practice right now. So maybe we see some games, but I think very few.
Carm, very quickly, do you believe you'll be covering Northwestern?
Teddy and I battled this out, and I gave it up to Teddy because I think there's just not going to happen. But for me, move it to the spring. That give yourself a chance to have a season. Just punt and figure it out at that point.
Guys, thank you for your time, your knowledge, and your support throughout the years. We will see you tomorrow on Sports Talk Live. Have a wonderful evening. Go Hawks, Sox, Cubs. There's your three-team partner.